That's my.
Don't you take this from me, Jesse Pink?
My show now.
Dre better. I hope Dre uses like some of the things, like the little shit that we be doing before. Wow.
Let's ask Dre. Are you?
I hope you do.
Are you, Dre?
Hey, Dre.
Edition of the It's Just Jokes podcast. My name is Joshua Shyman, aka Slim Balor, aka Baby Giannis, aka Mr. Take Your Girl in Front Your Face. I'm here with my co-host, as always. First, Jesse Pink, aka Dolomite P, aka Baby Samoa Joe, aka Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it rolling, you hoes. Next, it's Kobe Price.
What up?
Aka the homie Kobe, aka Mr. The Price is Right, aka
Kobe.
And last, but certainly not least, Derek Small, a.k.a. D. Smalls, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie Jr., a.k.a. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? We are doing our third installment of the origin stories, and today it is about, drumroll please, Mr. The Price is Right, Kobe Price himself.
Put up.
Yes, so, Kobe, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Man, I'm black. Do you need more else? Do you need anything else? No.
Yeah, actually a lot.
Yeah, I'm 23 years old, down here living in good old South Florida. Born in Indianapolis, live in Chicago, moved out to the burbs midway through high school. As a sports writer, moved down to Florida, came down here for the money, of course, because there's nothing else that I would come down here for. Not messing with you, South Florida, if anyone from down here is listening to this. But no, for me personally, big sports guy, big music guy, enjoy TV too. Big, not as much of a movie guy, but you know, you ask me certain movies, like I'll give you like all the Tyler Perry movies in a row. Like I'll give you the rundown of pretty much every single one. Not really, just joking. But you know, just enjoying life. Big family guy, got a girl, got a bunch of little brothers, and yeah, that's pretty much me and what I'm about.
My guy, Kobe. So, you know, Kobe, you mentioned to the audience, you know, you moved around a little bit. You live in South Florida now, so you got a lot of life experience, you know what I'm saying? So my question for you is, what is the biggest lesson or one of the biggest lessons you've learned in life, and how does that affect you in terms of, like, how you go about your day-to-day?
Man, you going – coming with a heavy hitter. What's your biggest thing you can teach the kids? No, I mean, see, my mom and I, we joke around because when like something happens, she'll say, Kobe, this is life lesson 375. And I'll be like, yeah, because 376 is going to come the next day. There's a lot of things I could say that I've learned in all facets of life, whether it's moving, relationships, jobs, etc. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is do your best to be present. I think that's such a challenging thing sometimes, like being present in whatever moment, whatever your phase, whatever thing's happening in your life at that time, because you're thinking about, oh man, this next thing's gonna come up in my life. I gotta prepare for this. I gotta worry about this. You gotta, whatever it may be, whether it's for work, you're trying to get to the next job, trying to make more money, whether it's family, you may be trying to have kids, maybe trying to get married, have a girlfriend, et cetera, whatever it is. My thing is to try always do your best to be present. Something I struggle with, or sometimes I have a difficult time with at times, and something I challenge myself with is being present in that moment. I know on a previous episode, we talked about working out, and sometimes you catch yourself thinking like, man, when are these gains going to come in? When is this work going to start paying off? And for that, I always try to remind myself, be present in this moment. Get the benefits of your work will pay off, but be present in that moment, because when that moment passes, when the moment's over, you're going to be like, dang, I remember this time, remember this moment. Because now that like I know I'm young, I'm only 23, going to be 24 in a few months, but I'm looking back on like certain moments, especially in high school, and even early on, even like probably the later parts of college, where I wasn't as present. And a lot of those memories, like they fade. And I'm like, man, those were good times, and they probably would have felt better if I wasn't so worried about the future, if I wasn't so worried about what would come next. If I just focused in on that moment, it probably would have meant more to me going forward.
You out here giving out a free game. Hold on.
Man, that's definitely real. So my question for you is, you mentioned you're a big, you know, music guy and all that kind of stuff, you know, and TV shows, and basically a fan of the arts. So I would say, what is your favorite piece of like artistry, whether that's an album, you know, an EP, or a movie or a TV show, and like, what's your favorite and how did that like impact you?
Ooh, buddy. I guess I'll do movie and an album / mixtape EP. Yeah. So I guess movie, the movie that will always be my favorite movie, regardless of, even if like, you know how it is, like you have a movie that just means so much to you. Even if there's something better, it doesn't matter if it's better. It's just not your movie. Dark Knight will always be that movie to me. I don't care if MCU winds up producing a better movie than Dark Knight. Dark Knight will always be the one to me. They have. I can admit they have. They've outdone Dark Knight. Now, they took them some years to do it. I'll say that. But, I mean, that's what happens as, you know, time passes by. But Dark Knight will always be the movie to me. And it was different. It always meant so much to me because the central focus was so, like, the Joker was so much of the central focus of the movie. And it just, I guess, opened my eyes to interpreting art in a different way, right? Like, we're so, as a comic book fan or someone who always enjoy watching Batman and Spider-Man and Superman, we are used to having the superheroes be the central figure that everything revolves around. Now, Batman, The Dark Knight, of course, revolves around Bruce Wayne, aka Batman, but so much of it revolved around the villain, where you're like, there's a whole different like realm that we miss out on in some of these movies. That kind of just opened, like, that was like opening my third eye in terms of comic books, in terms of just how I took in movies. Gotta keep that third eye open, guys. The music side, see, I was gonna say a J. Cole album. I was so close to it. But My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West. Only because
respect.
Fantastic album. Loved it to death. And it was one of the three first albums I bought with my own money. Gotta get the clean joint from Walmart, because, you know, can't be having the explicit version at what, that been 2010.
Right. True.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Shoot, now I'm Recovery.
Mm.
Yep.
And Pink Friday. And those all dropped November 2010.
They actually did. Man, yeah, that's a solid three, because that was a good 2010 was actually a good year for that year too.
That was a great year
because even Drake dropped that year. Yeah, I know. But yeah, that was a good year. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that is by far, to me, that's probably the last like Kanye West album we all like consensually said was great.
Before you get to your question, what are y'all's favorite Kanye albums? It's different with everybody.
Yeah, it is.
Mine is the same as Kobe's.
Okay.
It's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy for me too. Because he was able to somehow get all the styles from the previous album and put them together. Like, I heard a little bit of Late Registration. I heard a little bit of College Dropout. I heard a little bit of Graduation. I even heard a little bit of the Distorted Voices. I heard a little bit of
808s.
I heard a little bit of everything. And it was also his big, like, middle finger after everything what happened with Taylor. Yeah. Like,
I actually think that 808s is my favorite. Although I College Dropout, Late Registration, you know, back-to-back, you know, classics, Graduation. I mean, he's just talking cash shit the entire album, to be honest with you on that. But 808s felt, it was so personal. And it's like, you know, Kanye had built himself to be this, I don't want to say swaggering, because he definitely showed like the song Roses on Late Registration was about, you know, them, you know, losing a loved one and all that kind of stuff. Like, he did show some signs of vulnerability along the way, but 808s is so deeply rooted in this idea of just hurt and being vulnerable to us. And he's pouring his heart out the entire album. And it was such a different sound than the first three too, right? Like it was so sonically different. So I really loved what's the last track off of that? It was
off of what, 808s?
Yeah.
Let me look right now. I forget. I'm not gonna lie. To me, 808s. I enjoy certain songs off the album. I mean, at that point, I enjoy pretty much every Kanye album. But to me, that was the one I liked the least, not because.
Oh, it was Pinocchio Story. That's what I'm thinking about. Pinocchio Story, where he's just sitting there and literally just talking to the crowd and just pouring his entire heart out. I'm like, that's the realest thing Kanye has ever said to us. And it might still be. He's just like expressing everything that he's going through. You know, there was one of the, I think the second song on the album, he's talking about how his, you know, homie had wife and kids and you can just show him a new picture of his crib. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. Like, it was just like, wow, but don't mean to get it off topic. Apologize for that.
Nah, that's probably, 808's a hard, like, first of all, like, I don't think nobody else has, like, a good run of albums where you can, everyone say at least 4 out of 5 albums that you made were good. I think Kanye has that title. Even though 808's and Heartbreaks is the most controversial one because not everyone likes it, all Kanye West albums sound differently, but that one might be, like, the most, in that 5-album stretch, the most, like, impactful one.
Yeah.
It doesn't get enough credit. It doesn't. Just like how we haven't almost given Kobe enough credit about how much of a he's so dedicated into being one of the best damn sports writers, sports journalists there is there, man. Like, he works consistently at just being a sports writer, man. And I just want to know, personally, like, you know, obviously sports got you into it, but it's just like, what fueled that drive for you to like to want to like cover sports and be into sports, you know, and just follow the narrative of sports every day? Like, what ignited that fire for you and what keeps that fire going for you?
I mean, honestly, I come from a sports family. My grandparents play ball. My dad and sister, and I believe their brother played ball and other sports. My dad played football as well, basketball and football. So when I call it, when I say ball for everyone's listening, I mean basketball. It's just natural. But for me, I mean, I played from the moment, like my first thing was golf. And if you ask any of my family members, they'll tell you, like, they say that even though I was 3 to 6, that was my best sport I've ever played. They call me Mini Tiger Woods. It's a funny story. I was in a tournament and one of the parents tried to get my birth certificate checked. Be like, oh, he can't be no 5-year-old hitting the ball like that. And my granddad was like, oh, yes, he is. Or my grandma was like, yes, he's a 5-year-old. He's just better than your child. I was like, when I heard that story, I was like, ooh, I must have been the Mini Tiger Woods out there having birth certificates having to be drawn. But that's really what had sparked the interest, just enjoying sports as a kid, a teenager. And then once things connected to the game, I mean, now we're going to go back to like go to college. Originally, it wasn't going to be sports writing. I knew I wanted to stay within the sports realm, but I didn't. It was a journey to figure out how. I was going to do kind of similar to Josh. I was going to do sports marketing, sports business management. And my freshman year at U of I went to, I forget what it's called. It was like the Illinois sports business, like some U of I sports business group. And they told, it was like the very beginning of the semester, might have been like week 2, week 3, maybe. And they said, dress up, bring a resume, do all this stuff. So I'm hype. I'm ready. Like, man, I'm about to be in there, about to meet some guys and some gals who are like interested in what I'm interested in. And I walk in there and it's like not in like a big auditorium, but you know, those classrooms in school where it could fit like 200, 300 people.
Right.
And it's like kind of like a stadium seating.
Yeah.
I walk in there. Man, and it's weird because U of I, at least to me, was like 5% black. Like, I'm thinking, man, I'm about to meet some black people too. I was probably 1, 2, 3 of maybe 100, 150 black people in there. Black men and women. It was just a bunch of white dudes in there. I was like, kind of feel out of place, guys. Feel very out of place here. And it was cool. And that didn't deter me. And then I started doing a little bit more business. I was like, I don't know, like, if the business side of it is what I want to do. took a couple like recreation, like recreational classes. I was like, all right, this ain't it. So I transferred schools. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then one day I just love reading. I love watching. I love reading about sports. So one day, going into my sophomore year, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a job, but it didn't have anything to do with my career. So I wound up finding this I transferred to NIU and I found this job portal, and it was like a sports blogging with iSports Web internship. And I was like, that sounds like something that could be fun to do, like something fun to do over the summer, something to get interested in. And I did it that summer. It would have been summer 2017. I was writing two columns a week. And ever since then, it's been something that I've just wanted to do. I wake up happy to do it. Now, obviously, I do it at a different level now, but that's why. Like, that's really where it started. And ever since then, I've been happy doing it. I've done broadcast, radio, podcast. I've done it all, but the writing part. And there's more things I want to do for much of it, because I've only been writing for a few years. I feel like there's just so much for me to learn. And that's part of the reason why I go so as hard as I do, because I want to learn. I want to soak in as much as I can. I want to get better. But, yeah, that's pretty much where it all started.
Fascinating.
So Kobe talked about his growth and everything, you know, from the time that he attended U of I to, you know, graduating from NIU. So it's only right we go into the memories, right, and we talk about the growth, you know, as a group. I'm actually going to throw a curveball because I don't think Kobe's going to expect this memory.
Oh no, I hate this. I hate this when people bring up memories you don't remember. Oh no,
no. But it's sort of a general statement, I guess, more than a memory. But really, just how Kobe talked about the life lesson of being present, and that's honestly how I feel about him as a friend. You know, when you're talking with him, having different conversations, and you know, doing stuff like the podcast here, Kobe has always been very present in those spaces. And has just been like just a big supporter, just as a friend. You know, we don't know each other. We haven't known each other for that long. But like he said, you know, that from that first interaction at Josh's graduation weekend, you know, he said it himself, how he knew I was going to be a good friend, and, you know, vice versa. I could tell Kobe was a great guy hanging out with Josh, you know, do a mutual friendship. And, you know, it wasn't awkward. You know, when people tend to mix friend groups, sometimes it could be, it's hit or miss, you know, to be honest, in my opinion. Either it can go really well or really bad, but I could just tell in general that Kobe was a good guy, and that if you needed to talk to him or just kind of vent or, you know, whatever, that he would kind of just be, you know, present for you and give you some really sound advice, because, you know, he's an overall upstanding dude. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, for sure. That day specifically was just fun. Cause like we alluded to, we went to this alpha party and it took us forever to get in. They taxed at the door. We got in. It wasn't as full as they made it seem. So we were trying to tee up and still have fun, cause it was my graduation weekend. And then we were there for I don't even know if we were in the party for our full hour.
No, we were not in there for no hour.
We weren't.
We were maybe like 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then we went to the after move, and the after move was cramped. And we were like, bro, just forget this. Like, I want to go home and sleep at this point. We had a really great breakfast the next day and showed Kobe around campus and all that kind of stuff. And I think one of my favorite memories of Kobe is it was actually after that, when he and a couple other people were at a surprise graduation or a surprise going away party for me. Man, it was a lot going on that day, because, you know, my people know that I'm very independent, so I'll make plans for stuff, and they had me going 20 different directions, stalling me, and Jesse was one of the main culprits of that.
Oh my God!
but you know, walking in and definitely feeling that love, and then knowing that Kobe and his girl were there, and just, you know, hearing them, you know, speak on me and speak on my character, but also just like, you know, stuff like that means a lot to me when people, like you said, are able to be present for you and to celebrate you. And that's one thing that Kobe is really great at, is celebrating your friends too, you know what I mean? And seeing their wins as your wins, and So he'll get hyped for Derek. He'll get hyped for myself. He'll get hyped for Jesse and our friend Devin and Lewis and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just seeing how he interacts with his girl and how he gets hyped for her and all that kind of stuff. So it really is a testament of the character that he is. And so I don't know if I specifically have a single favorite moment, but just, you know, Kobe being present overall and being who he is. And it's just, you know, that's just one thing I really value about him.
Man, y'all gonna make my heart melt. I was once to add one thing though.
What's up?
That day, first day I had Zaxby's.
Oh so man, Zaxby's is. I miss Zaxby's so much.
Hey, listen.
You're the closest there. You could conceivably go drive down to Columbia, get Zaxby's, and come back.
Zaxby's be hitting, bro.
Zaxby's is so good.
So good, bro.
And you had Hot Box for the first time too, right?
I think that was the first time. If not the first time, the second, because I think there's one in Champaign too. I think I had it once. Yeah. My friend got it for me once down in Champaign. But if not, then that would have been the first time.
Yeah.
I made sure to, because we went that night, and I made sure to go back the next day because they have what I want.
Yeah, you went back before, because I had to, you know, leave for graduation, do all that kind of stuff. And you apparently went back.
Yeah, the next morning. Yeah, or, like, right before graduation.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's giving a testimony to Kobe being president. I give a testimony to his relationship, too, with his lovely girlfriend, man. Like, being present with her, and she's such a beautiful and such an incredible young lady, man. She's just doing also great things too.
Now hold on now, man. What you doing?
I wanted to say shout out to her as well.
What you doing?
I wanted to say shout out to her as well because
hey, this nigga shooting.
You know, Kobe said, hey, relax.
Hey Jesse, we're about to talk after this podcast, bro.
Hey Jesse been to come up and challenge you to a duel for her honor, nigga. Like
I challenged you for a duel.
Slap you with the glove like
in the middle of the town at sundown, sir.
At high noon.
It's gonna be me and Jesse. Me and Jesse back to back take five steps out. Five steps once we both got swords and a shield.
Right, just out here going at it. I just wanted to shout her out too because I'm like, man, like y'all are also to me like a good example of like a young black relationship, man, and just trying to have good balancing, you know, healthy relationships. Even though you two are incredibly busy, but I'm glad. I guess in me being genuine started some shit because then this pretty much leads into one of my favorite memories of Kobe. So everyone talks about how nice and sweet Kobe is. But one thing I respect about Kobe is that you not finna bitch Kobe. That's one thing you're not going to do. Kobe will never back down. We have a group chat on Twitter. I remember I said something really out of pocket with Kobe.
As he usually does.
As I usually do.
It's not out of pocket, like, for Jesse, it's just out of pocket. But Jesse's out of pocket. So let's make sure this context is there.
That's a great way of describing it.
Yeah, it's like that. And, man, Kobe can't swing him back. There are a lot of things that we said in that group chat going back and forth that I cannot repeat. All I remember is that Derek telling me that on his notification, it said Kobe sent the message, Jesse sent the message, Kobe sent the message. We kept going back and forth so much. Josh literally pulled a group FaceTime call with me and Kobe and was like, yo, are y'all okay? Like, what's going on? And for me, my first introduction to Kobe was actually when I was hanging out with Josh and Kobe was doing an internship in Manhattan, you know, on his Matt Murdock shit. And when I was listening to Kobe and how Kobe can, because Kobe can say some spicy stuff too. And I was like, okay, you know, Kobe, like me and Kobe, I see some similarities there. But that Twitter moment with Kobe, I was like, Kobe can hold his own. Like, don't get it messed up. Kobe can hold his own. From that day forward, I always respected Kobe, but I do love friendships when I can crack with you too, as much as you can crack with me. And because if you bring it to me, I'm always going to laugh. Even if it's a low blow, it hits me. I'm going to laugh. And Kobe said, hey, bro, I can bring it too. And for that, Kobe has had my respect for that going forward. Kobe, the reason why I enjoyed that memory so much is because Kobe does not take himself too seriously. And I remember that was something I used to struggle with growing up. But just to see him just easily just like, nah, bro, I'm with the guys. We just joking. And just for him to be So, and this speaks to them being present too, because Kobe picked up early on that, like, this is just me. But Kobe picked it up and was like, okay, this is you, but I ain't no hoe. I'm gonna tell you how this really about to go. And I'm like,
I equate that entire like back and forth to Josh, like Josh and Derek. You know, y'all know when like the it gets late in a wrestling match and they just start throwing punches back and forth and they both tire. He's like, dude, and then they start going harder and harder. That's pretty much what that was. Yeah. Boo. Yeah.
Boo. Oh, Jesse, we were definitely just booing when Jesse threw the blows. Because we were like, come on, bro. Sure. Like, stop. Like, cut it out, okay?
And
like,
then I hit back.
You fight back, Kobe. You fight back.
You fight back. And I go, yeah.
You got to get him, too.
I'm that one kid in the crowd like, get him, Kobe.
You're just in the crowd. Let's go, Kobe. bro. That was that was a perfect memory that I had of Kobe, man. I was like, yeah, from that day forward. Another good memory I have with Kobe. I'm sorry. I know I'm cheating right now. We were all on, like, doing our regular face chat, FaceTime, right? It was essentially, like, the build-up to us getting into Just Jokes. If you haven't noticed so far, we say Kobe's the bad bitch in the group. This particular moment really solidified this. We played Cash Shit. We played Cash Shit, and all I remember was Kobe had a big-ass bottle of wine and was just vibing out. We were always like, bro, he really the bad bitch in the group. Like,
was that when he had put his feet in the air?
Too? Yes, bro, that's when he put his feet in the air, bro.
Hey, now y'all just telling on me now.
Bro, I was like, bro. Like,
bro, I thought you were going to go to the 4th of July cookout that I had.
No.
I thought you were going to go to, like, helping me pack up the truck. You're like, nah, bad bitch.
Because that's the one that stuck out to me. Be like, all right, Kobe. This man, Kobe. Yeah, man, that's my memory for you, big dog. That's my memory.
Hey, man, I love me some wine. Can't even deny that. Can't even deny that. No, I appreciate that, fellas, man. It's hard to just sit here and just listen to all this outpouring.
I said I told you.
Man, it is difficult, but I appreciate each and every one of y'all, both, all three of y'all. It's been great. Like I said, I've known Josh the longest, but Derek and Jesse, it's been great to get to know y'all. Josh, you're a brother for life, man, and I really do appreciate you guys and love you guys with everything I got. And this was fun. It's been fun being friends. It's been fun and so great for me to keep in touch with all y'all. And looking forward to what this podcast will help evolve our friendships, help evolve our relationships, and just help us evolve as young men, young black men. As for me personally, I love my wine. If you want to follow me on socials and see me talk about wine a little bit, wine, Patriots, sports, maybe a little bit of music and TV, you can follow me at Kobe_Price on Twitter. The Kobe Price is Right, or maybe it's just Kobe Price is Right on Instagram. I don't remember, but I'm right either way. Facebook, my name, but you ain't going to see nothing anywhere after 2019. And definitely make sure to follow us on Twitter. Follow the It's Just Joke podcast at jokes_podcast. Make sure to tap in, guys.
All right. So I think that'll do it for this episode. We got one more origin story. The supervillain himself,
Jesse Pink.
Who's next?
don't know when that's going to be dropping, guys, but it'll be somewhere in the very near future. But for Jesse Pink, for Kobe Price, for Derek Small, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Dre, for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you to King Boy and Jay Alzier for our outro music. And we thank you guys for listening. Give us 5 stars everywhere applicable. We will see you all next time.
And remember, Jesus loves you.
Oh, stop.
Peace.